Go with me, if you would, back to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Let's read verses 15 and 16 again. Our Lord said, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." I've told you this before, but years ago when I first started preaching and first started traveling and filling in for men and congregations that needed somebody to come speak, I traveled to a congregation and a dear aged brother, a man who is just so dear to me. He has been under the gospel for decades and decades and decades. He was presiding over the service that morning, and he read scripture and he led in prayer. And one of his requests in his prayer was, "Lord, give us a greater concern for men's souls." And this was a man who had been under the gospel for a long time. And I love listening to men who've been under the gospel for a long time. They sound tried. Do you know what I mean by that? They sound like the Lord has proven their faith to them. And after all those years, that man, his prayer to the Lord was, at his up in years age, his prayer was, "Lord, give us a greater concern for men's souls." That immediately made an impression on me. As a young man sitting there waiting to go up and preach, that just struck me. And that impression is still here. It has stayed with me now all these years. "Lord, give us a greater concern for men and women's souls." Give us a greater concern for men and women's souls. Often, those who know the truth of God's sovereignty, when men and women have been told and have had God's sovereignty revealed to them, often they don't have great concern over men and women's souls. And I want to qualify that by saying they deeply want men and women to be saved. Deeply. I'm not saying that they're not concerned whether men and women are saved. Very much, very deeply, they want men and women to know the true God and the true Christ. But what I mean by that is, often once we get a hold of God's absolute sovereignty, we don't carry the burden of responsibility. And it's for two main reasons. Number one, it's because we know that God is in control of all of this. We know He is. He's in control of all of this. And we know that He has His people numbered. We know He does. And we know that He is not going to lose one of them. It's not going to happen. Every soul that Christ died for is going to end up with Him in glory. Every soul, all of them, He is going to lose none of them. That's the first reason. But the second reason is, when it comes to witnessing the truth to people, we know that if God does not give a man or a woman faith in His Word, we witness the truth of the Word. Well, the Scripture says, and we know that if God does not send faith into a man or a woman to believe the Word, they're not going to believe it anyway. They're just not. If a person believes, that's God's doing. We know, this is what we know in the whole thing, God has to do this. God has to do this. So that produces a natural and very understandable hands-off approach. Does that make sense? This is God's business. We'll just let Him do His business. This is God's business. We'll let Him do His business. That's totally understandable. We are not soul winners. And that's what I mean by this carrying the burden of going around and knocking on men's doors and such on and so forth, like some people bear the burden to do. We are not soul winners. Christ won all the souls that were going to be won on the cross of Calvary. He won them. They were chosen by the Father before the foundation of the world. They were purchased by the blood of the Son on the cross. And it is a done deal. It's a done deal. I'm not going to call God's people to Him. God's Spirit is going to call God's people to Him. You see what I mean by this? I'll preach the gospel to you and leave you alone. We find great comfort and great rest in that. I honestly do, as a man who is called to preach and preach and preach and preach and preach and preach. That's what I do. I preach and preach and preach. I find so much comfort in the fact that God is going to do this. God is going to do what God purposed to do. But as we uphold and we declare and we rejoice in His will and His work and His purpose in all these things, the one thing that we don't want to do is we don't want to ignore His means that He has declared He would use in His will, in His purpose, in His work. He has chosen and declared and commanded a particular means to be used in quickening His people. And I want to show us what they are, okay? Turn with me to Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. Mark 16, verse 14. It says, afterward He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why is every creature going to be saved? No, he or she that believeth not shall be damned, He said. Well, isn't faith not of ourselves? Isn't that the gift of God? Yes, that's right. Well, doesn't He know who He's going to give faith to? Yes, He does. The Lord knows them that are His. He does. All right, well then why would we go through the great effort of preaching the gospel to all the world? Why would we do that? Here's the only answer I can give for that. Who are we to reply against God? That's the only thing I know to say about that. Who are we to reply against God? God said through his apostle in Romans 1:16, he said, "The preaching of the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation." Somebody will say, "That's foolishness. That's absolute foolishness." He said in 1 Corinthians 1:21, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." God is going to use the means of preaching his word to save his people. That's why the Apostle Paul said, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Woe is unto me. He is going to use his word. And here's what I want to emphasize. He is going to save his people. He is going to. His word is not going to return void. Now, this ought to give us great encouragement in our concern for men and women's souls. This ought to increase our concern to preach the gospel to men and women. I hope this will give us great hope, concern in our families, our loved ones, that we so desperately want them to come to a knowledge of Christ and come to a knowledge of his truth. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Look at our Lord's wording back in John 10. Verse 16. John 10, 16. He said, "Other sheep I have." That's good news to me. We so easily take on that same mindset that Elijah had. He said, "Lord, I'm all alone. Nobody else will believe this. I keep telling it and nobody believes it. Nobody believes it. They're not going to believe it." We do the same thing. We say, "We're it. This is it. Nobody else is going to believe it." Our Lord said, "Elijah, right now, while you think you're all alone, I have 7,000. Just in Israel. 7,000. Our Lord said in verse 16 right here, he said, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." You know what that means? That means they are coming. They are coming. I want faith to believe my God. That's what I would like to have. When the apostle said, "Lord, increase our faith," what is our faith increased in? His word. What did he say? "I will call my people." They're coming. They're coming. If he must bring them, they're coming. Why must he bring them? That sounds like he has to. Why does he have to bring them? Here's why. He promised to. He made a promise to. He swore to. And he is a covenant-keeping God. David said, "Although it be not so with my house, the Lord hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, he is not going to break it." He's not going to break it. He's going to keep it. Thank God he must bring his sheep to himself. He said in verse 16, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold," he said, "them." He's talking about a particular people there. "Them also," a very particular people. And then he said, "I." He's talking about a particular work. It's a work he did alone, him alone. "Them, I." Verse 16, he said, "must." I just love that word. That means there's no possibility of failure. No possibility of failure. The Father said, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him." He shall accomplish judgment for the Gentiles. He shall not fail. He is not going to fail. No possibility of it. Verse 16 says, them also I must bring. In John 6, he said, all that the Father has given to me shall come to me. My Father will draw them to me. And I will raise every single one of them up at the last day. And I'm going to use the means of my people declaring me to my people. That's the means I'm going to use. Now, here's what I want to say to us tonight. This is what I want to honestly exhort us to, sincerely exhort us to. If this world is still turning, God still has a people out there. If the world is still turning, God still has a people out there. It is going to be a people who you have a heart to witness the gospel to. I'm going to repeat that. And the reason I say that is because we all have people that we know who we have a heart to witness the gospel to. God is going to save some people. It is going to be people who His people have a heart to witness Him to. It comes through the witness of the gospel. We witness the gospel right here to people that we know and people that we don't know. The Lord gave us a heart to witness the gospel. Here's the building. One day soon we'll have a sign. The Lord provided a TV broadcast and whatever other means. We are witnessing. The Lord gave us, if we didn't have a heart to do the TV broadcast, we wouldn't do the TV broadcast. The Lord gave us a heart to do these things. The Lord gave us a heart. Why did we build this? We wanted to. Why did we put so many seats in it? We wanted to. The Lord gave us a heart. We witness the gospel to people we don't know. We witness the gospel to people we know. The Lord is going to call His sheep, and it's going to be men and women who God's people have a heart to witness the gospel to them. It's going to be people who we want so desperately to come to know Christ. So badly. It's not going to be the kind of people who look like they're just naturally worthy of God saving them. Our Lord said He didn't come to call the righteous, He came to call sinners. They are going to look like sinners. You are going to know some people who you have in your heart a desire to witness the gospel to them because clearly they are sinners. Whether they are gutter sinners or self-righteous pew sinners, either way, they are sinners. Clearly, they're sinners. They're going to look just like sinners. So these three things came to my mind. I wrote these three things down for myself, and I'm just going to pass them along to you. This is something for my heart and something for what the Lord has called me to do. I'm going to pass it along to you. Three things. Number one, tell everyone. Give up on no one because someone is going to come to Christ. Tell everyone. Don't give up on anybody. Well, I told them and they didn't want to hear it. Don't give up on anybody. If there is breath in them, tell them again. Invite them again. Come hear the gospel again. I really don't want to. I don't care. Come on anyway. Maybe next week, I'll call you in 6 days. Tell everyone. Don't give up on anybody. Why? Because you're going to save them? You're going to call God's people to Himself? No. Because this is the means that God said He would use. Tell everybody. Give up on nobody, because according to the word of the Lord God Himself, somebody is going to come to Christ. Somebody is. He said, my sheep will hear my voice, and there is going to be, and this is exciting to me, one fold and one shepherd. Christ our shepherd. Verse 14 right here, he said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. I know them, they know me. Verse 15, he said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You know what will draw a sheep to Christ? Telling them about the God, their God, who made himself to be a lamb. Their almighty God who made himself to be a lamb, that he might deliver all of his sheep from being sacrificed for their sin. That's what all of God's sheep deserve. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. The great shepherd, the chief shepherd who gave his life for his sheep. He said at the end of verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 27 right here in John 10, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Never perish. Doesn't that make you want to tell everybody? My sheep are going to hear my voice. They're going to know me. They're going to follow me. They're never going to perish. They're never going to leave my sight. Never going to leave my hand. That makes me want to tell everybody, give up on nobody, believing that somebody's going to believe the gospel. Somebody's going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody is going to be drawn by the loving, gracious, merciful voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somehow through this poor earthen vessel, and somehow through these poor earthen vessels, somehow one of God's people will hear His voice. And it's so. It's so. He will speak to His people. My prayer is that He'll speak to me. I want to hear your voice. He will speak to His people. They will hear His voice, and they will follow Him. They will come to Him. They will hear Him say to their heart, you come to me, and I'll give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. The moment that sheep is drawn to Christ, this is what he or she will say. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm not going to want. He makes me lie down. Brother David Edmondson tells the story of a great orator, a great speaker, many, many years ago, who was often invited to banquets of queens and noblemen and things like that to speak. And oftentimes his custom was to stand and read Psalm 23. But this man, on one particular occasion, he was attending a banquet. He was an attendee. And he noticed, while he was sitting there, he noticed that an old gray-haired preacher was sitting at the podium. And when the time came for the benediction to take place, the old gray-haired man stood up and he read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's said that when that old gray-haired man finished reading Psalm 22, there wasn't a dry eye in the place, including the great orator. And there was a man sitting next to the great orator, and he said to him, I've heard you read that psalm many times, but dear friend, I've never heard you read it like that. And the orator, with tears streaming down his face, looked at the man and said, I know the psalm. He knows the shepherd. He knows the shepherd. I know the psalm. He knows the shepherd. I want to know the shepherd. I want to know the shepherd. Our Lord said in verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. It gives me great comfort to know, honestly, that God has a purpose in all of this. It gives me great comfort to know God has purpose to save a people. And I cannot wait to watch it happen. It is happening. It will continue to happen until the world stops turning. And I want to see our Lord and Savior bring in His sheep to this place. There are sheep in this town right now who are not of this fold. He must bring them. They're going to hear His voice. They're going to come to Him. They're going to follow Him. And He's going to give them rest. He's going to lead them. He's going to feed them. He said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And it's our great privilege to witness Him to as many people as we can. And that's our exhortation. Tell everybody about the shepherd. Go tell everybody about the shepherd. You go home to your house and you tell your family and your friends how great things the shepherd has done for you. May He give us strength and heart to do that. May He give us the courage and the strength and the heart to do that. May Christ be declared. May God call His sheep to Himself, and may we all be counted among them. May we be His sheep. All right.